Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at Patreon.com/RealityTVPod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Hey, happy new year. It's a new year. I made a new intro. I even got a new puppy who you are very likely to be hearing from time to time. She's curled up right next to me in my office right now. I guess I can introduce her. It's Scout Bader Ginsburg, the cutest damn puppy you've ever seen. Yeah, I know. I wasn't a dog person until I fell in love with her. She's going to be our little reality TV mascot. Also, I put some new merch up on my Threadless shop. I think it's realityvpod.threadless.com? I will put it in the show notes. Go and take a look. I have some Stay Salty Donut stuff. I have some Salty Beach stuff for my salty bitches. Really cute stuff. Supports a show and really helps me out. Those of you who stuck with me over the holidays on Patreon, you also get a very special shout out. Hopefully you got a whole lot of laughs about the Office episode, and you even got a special visit from my darling husband. We reenacted the iconic Sweaty Ball skit from SNL, and turns out Dave sounds nothing like Alec Baldwin, but he's such a good sport, so I just fell in love with him and his sweaty balls even more. Oh, that sounded gross. Sorry, kids. Okay, so since we last got together, oh my God, the Love After Lockup and 90 Day Fiancé cast has just gone completely off the rails. I've been asked, you know, can you talk about what's going on Instagram and Twitter currently when you release the episodes? But here's the thing. By the time I record these recaps and post them, without a doubt, someone has already thrown a new dick pic out there or filed for divorce or filed and already reconciled. So there's no way I could possibly keep current. For example, I think by the time that you have listened to this, all of the Love After Lockup felons are former felons no longer, because who the hell knows who's been in and out, bailed out. It's a mess. I mean, God only knows if Debbie is still alive or if Larissa's gone Lorena Bobbitt on Colt's cocktail weenie. They're just a disaster. Also, several questions over this holiday break. This is going to be full disclosure right here. I have had a number of, we'll call them reality talent, reach out to me from 90 Day Fiancé and other shows. But once again, here's my thing. You know me. I talk a really good game. I roast these people every week until they are charred and burnt to a crisp. But if I were to call these people up and talk to them, you really think that I would be the snarky bitch that I usually am, like right now? No. I have said this before. I talk behind people's backs because I have something called manners that my mother taught me quite well. And also, I can't bullshit well at all. I'm a terrible liar. I can't go and rip on, okay, who's one of my faves? David of David and Annie. I mean, he's just a classic. Eric's right up there now. But you know, I can't talk about my theory of David's penis being reabsorbed by his growing body, I'll put it nicely, and then call him up and pretend to be that I'm supportive of his non-rent payments at the motherfucking firehouse. It just doesn't work that way in my brain or in my life. So in other words, my New Year's promise to you is that I will never be a good enough person to be nice to reality people that I really, truly don't like. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Now let's get into Love After Lockup. Save a 90 Day Fiancé for last because holy shit, that tell all. Okay, but first, Love After Lockup. Matt and Caitlin. I know I didn't have a recap last week, but I need to talk about this Sex in the Woods scene. I mean, are you really trying to make us believe that you couldn't wait that long? It's so freaking gross. And I'm not just saying Caitlyn, because she was getting a lot of shit on social media. Like, oh God, she's so gross. She pulled over the car. Listen, he did too. It was not a classy move on either of their parts. But after this episode, this current week, neither of them should ever even be accused of having class. Caitlyn drives me up a fucking wall. Matt is a monster. He doesn't even hide it. But Caitlyn is so fucking annoying. You know what the most annoying thing is? Can she not have her fucking left foot pulled up on the seat when she drives? It is such a juvenile, cringy, you know, you see teenagers do that. They get their license and they're like, ooh, look at me. I'm driving down the road with my foot hanging out the window because I can drive and relax. She is just that annoying chick. She's like Carol Radziwill on Real Housewives of New York. You know, she would always pull herself up and sit on the countertop. I think one of Lizzie from Before the 90 Days sisters did that too. Might have been Becky with the good hair or the other sister, but it's just annoying. She's one of those girls that just makes herself super casual wherever she goes because she's the cool chick. She's got to stop. She's completely embarrassing herself. And of course, just icing on the cake, she had to have that torn sweatshirt hanging off her fucking shoulder like, oh, oops, did that just happen? Oh, this sweatshirt's so big on me because I'm so tiny and it just, it swallows me and it's falling off my shoulder. Then, yeah, I'm not done yet. The freaking talk about the sperm babies. In what world does she honestly think that is sexy talk? It's freaking disgusting. It's bad enough that she's even saying it, right? But it's exponentially worse when she knows she is saying this on camera. There are cameras everywhere, including her car. And if she even tries to pull some bullshit like, oh, I forgot that there was cameras in the car. No, because you were crying like a freaking baby when you pulled up to the prison. It goes along with everything else I've been saying about being the cool chick with the big sweatshirt and plopping her ass up or pulling her leg up. She thinks she's so cool because she's having sex. Driving with my knee pulled up and I have sex with a felon. Catch me outside. How about that? I know, I'm grossing myself out even saying that, but I'm telling you, someone look into it because I will put $10 on it, because that's basically all I have after the holidays, that those two, the catch me outside, how about dat, that, whatever the girl that is, and Caitlyn, they're in the same ancestry DNA circle. I promise you that. I guess I should mention, I told you I'm not done with this girl. I should probably mention that little dandelion proposal. It's been done, guys. Maybe Matt hasn't seen a romantic comedy in the last 20 years because he's been locked up, but we've seen it before. It's in every romantic comedy about a widow who learns to love again. We get it. Move along. Time to move in with Matt's mom. This woman, I don't think she really needs a GoFundMe, but I might GoFund her myself because this woman is a saint. Not only does she have to deal with Matt as her son, now she's got to deal with fucking annoying Caitlyn. It's no surprise that St. Kathy of the greenest room ever checks the hell out of the conversation as soon as Matt starts to lose his freaking shit for no reason. His whole thing is that he thinks everyone wants to control him and he's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do with or without a green Walmart swimsuit cover-up and cowboy boots. She will never live that down. Let's talk about that one conversation in that green bedroom. Just that conversation alone, about 7 red flags were thrown. Caitlyn's still sitting there like they're joking around. She's trying to be the supportive girlfriend like they've known each other forever. But of course, he's going to feel smothered and claustrophobic by that because I was freaking feeling that way. And I don't like either one of them. So the fact that I'm rooting for Matt says a lot. Now, I can't blame Matt's rage because that paint color on the walls, that is enough to drive anyone into some deep, dark places. I think heroin still has a slight lead on the paint color, but St. Kathy, come on, let's do something about that. Okay, who's next? I think I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I know, new year, new Jody, being more spontaneous. Let's go with Brittany and Marcelino. Normally save them for last, but Marcelino was quite the prick this week, so he deserves second place, I guess we can call it. So Brittany and Marcelino are at this restaurant. Brittany looked gorgeous, I think. I just love her. I don't know why, but I'm really digging Brittany. She seems very smart, very emotionally aware. She probably took advantage of some therapy that she was offered in prison for that. That a girl. I loved how she stuck up for herself last week when Marcelino was at dinner and she stood up and was like, "You're not going to talk to me that way." I wish I had those balls. Not if it came with a precursor of prison, but I admire that in her. Unlike Marcelino, who is one of the most fucking controlling assholes we've seen on reality TV. He would make, stay with me here, a perfect Real Housewives husband who then becomes ex-husband and there's crazy custody drama and all that. Not that I'm wishing that upon anyone, but can you see it? Okay, back to this lovely brunch on the harbor or something. No, they're in Las Vegas. That's not a harbor, is it? A lake? A pond? An overlook. Let's go with overlook. All right, so Brittany's friend Sasha, aka Bunkies, she's meeting up with them, but Marcelino is already pissed the fuck off because Sasha is late. I don't think I'm the only one who is expecting Sasha to roll in looking like Tracy based on the mugshot they showed us, but holy shit, Sasha's fucking gorgeous and good for her because not only is she gorgeous, not only does she have grit because she's been locked up and clearly pulled herself together to some extent, but when Marcelino started to be an asshole to her, she stuck her ground, but not to an extent where she came off like a bitch. She just sunk her feet in and, see you guys. Now I hear my kids out there and I have to act like I'm a good person. Recording, guys. Quiet. Back to Marcelino being a fucking asshole. So who the hell does he think he is? Last I checked, he was driving a cube and was trying to pretend like he could peel out of a penitentiary. No. You're a loser. You were hanging out like a fucking dingleberry outside the prison walls. You are no better than anyone else at the Overlook. It feels so good to be back. I just need to say that. Oh, I also wanted to bring something up that Marcelino said that I really hope we're all on the same page with, and I hope that you caught it. You know, he claims to be this very sophisticated, zen, one with the world, worldly human, but he stood up and he just says, "I need to go to the bathroom." Okay, well, first of all, way to wuss out when the going got tough. And also, that's something that someone says when they have diarrhea or that they're about to throw up. Otherwise, a normal person says, "Oh, excuse me, I need to use the restroom." Obviously, he said it because he was upset. But you know what? You could still say it in a dickish voice if you were really upset. "Excuse me, I need to use the restroom." But when you stand up and just go, "I need to go to the bathroom," you make yourself look like a total idiot. And I really enjoyed it. For Marcelino, I enjoyed it. All right. Speaking of enjoyment, Meghan, Michael, and Sarah, holy hell. Last week, Michael dropped a bomb right at the end of the episode. He was saying that Meghan, not Sarah, his baby mama and wife, was his queen. Now, the joke is truly on Michael, though, because he's wearing this Amazon Prime couple shirt. It's got a matching king and queen with a crown screen printed on it because, you know, that's what kings and queens do. Just like old Lizzie across the pond, right? By old Lizzie, I mean my future grandmother-in-law, not Lizzie of Lizzie and Scott. We're going to get to them in just a little bit. So at this point in the episode, I was wondering, do I believe Michael at all about Meghan, because he's saying that he loves Meghan, not Sarah, but of course he's married to Sarah because she's his daughter's mom. So I think I'm supposed to feel badly for Sarah. However, again, I have mixed feelings. First of all, I don't know if I believe Michael that he loves Meghan. Is he just pulling the wool over all of our eyes too? And then I also want to touch on Sarah. I really am starting to think less and less of her based on her split ends alone. Hear me out. If your split ends are more than half the length of your hair, and I can count the years of missed haircuts down your back, kind of like rings on a tree, it's time for a trim, and I'm questioning all of your life choices. Now, for some reason that I didn't catch because, and I swear to God, this is the truth, I was explaining to my daughter, who's obsessed with Freddie Mercury, that Sarah's shirt said Queen, not because she's a fan of the band, but because she's just a dork and she loves this jerk. Sarah zooms off down the street. So I don't know. I think she was picking someone up, but again, I didn't really catch the whole thing. Doesn't really matter because her car hadn't even hit 15 miles an hour when Michael dials up Megan and says to all of his friends, I need to call my girl. He's not even hiding it. So color me shocked. Megan ends up picking up the phone. They're FaceTiming. Michael's mom, Mother Michael, knows about this whole love triangle thing. She's in the know. She's not ashamed at all. I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. She knows her son is being an asshole to at least two women, but she doesn't care. She just doesn't want to be part of it. Now, Megan, she was doing so well last time we saw her. She wasn't going to pick up the phone if she was busy blow-drying her hair. But now, of course, Michael calls. She says she's not that happy with Michael because he's driving to New York with Sarah. But come on. I mean, you can't say, I'm not going to talk to the guy anymore, and you are just grinning from ear to ear. Of course, she still loves him. She just has to do what we would all do. No, I'm not that into him. I'm going to make him work to get me back. I didn't have to work that hard. At this point, Sarah returns, and immediately she and Michael start to get into it. Michael says that he wants to leave and go somewhere with his friends, something about laying down some tracks, not the railroad kind, like the fam-bam-click kind from last season, Love After Lockup. So Sarah's pissed. She's hurt, as she should be. Anyone would. But Michael doesn't give a single shit. Now, I have to point out an obvious thing here, and I know for a fact I was not the only one to notice this. Sarah's accent, and not even just the accent, she is not even the same person as when we met her. Her accent or her way of speaking has changed, her makeup has changed, and I know the water in Flint is still fucked up, but we can't blame it on the water. That's not the cause of it. I don't know if it's Michael's mind fuckery that's to blame with messing with her mind altogether and she just loses whatever vocabulary she does or doesn't have when he's not around. I don't get it. I just want to say, Sarah, just be yourself. Whatever it is, be yourself. Same thing with Megan. Both of those women just need to run in opposite directions of each other and away from Michael. Now, Tracy and Clint. Wow, this was dark, literally and figuratively, because I'm talking about Tracy's eyes and her hair roots and her soul and their future together, let's be honest. Clint is so into Tracy, it's to a level where I'm not jealous of Tracy, I'm definitely not jealous of Clint, but I'm jealous about the level of infatuation that Clint has for her. I've never had anyone feel that way about me. And I know it's delusional, I know it's not healthy, but, you know, a girl can dream. Who wouldn't want to be called a goddess, the most beautiful woman in the world? But no, who am I? I'm the bartender in the back of that restaurant who is just shooting daggers at these two assholes in the restaurant. You gotta go check out my Instagram. I think I posted it on Twitter too. There's this woman in the back, and she has her hand over her eyes like a visor, you know, when it's really sunny and you just want to get a better look. That is what she's doing to watch the whole scene go down. And for that, I salute you, bartender, restaurant lady. These two are just so delusional and dirty looking and unrealistic. Holy hell. And on top of all of that, I don't know how I can say this without sounding like the horrible person that I am. But they're not, I don't want to say, I'll just say neither of them will be enrolling in the 2019 Mensa summer program because I'm over being accepted. Now let's talk about this dinner. I thought it was as bad as it could possibly get in terms of cringeworthy moments until Clint didn't like his mac and cheese because of course he didn't because his fucking mommy didn't stir it up for him the way that he likes it. Not only that, Tracy was just rolling with the belly laughs about the mac and cheese. Oh my God, so funny mac and cheese joke. Fuck, she'd probably pee her $350 undies if he made a crack about frickin' chicken tenders. And what do you know? Clint does the same fucking thing that Marcelino does with the bathroom. A very sudden and quick, I need to go to the bathroom. No joke, if anyone in my normal life were to just suddenly announce something like that, I would reflexively shoot a stink eye and just say, ew, you're gross, you don't need to announce it, just go to the washroom, you freaking sicko. But instead, what does Tracy do after that hilarious mac and cheese joke? Oh yeah, go for it! Okay, to be honest, it probably isn't the only time that Colt gets a cheer from the table when he goes to the bathroom, because I'm sure his parents probably do the same thing every time that he goes potty. Then while he's back there, we see Tracy is sucking her drink dry. And you can't fault her for that. I bet you thought that I was going to really diss around that, but no, no. In the great words of Pam Beasley, second drink. You don't waste it. Second drink. Now, the sucking on the lemon, that has some lingering prison-level frugality to it. Like you're sucking the lemon to get all the remaining alcohol out of it. Now, hold on a second. I'm going to give you just a moment. I want you to go grab your tissues. It's go time. Clint comes back to the table, sits down with his sweaty, beady little eyes and says, you know that, like, you make me, like, the happiest person I thought I could be, right? I'm the happiest man since we started talking, and I think it's like fate, so I just want to know, Tracy, will you marry me? To which Tracy, the delicate buttercup that she is, rises like Maya Angelou has summoned us all to do, except maybe not when your bra and your fucking ass is on display for everyone who is now hurling behind the bar. I mean, God bless the man who finally spoke up and asked them how long they've known each other, because this guy is my hero. He broke the, was it an awkwardness in the room? Was it just a, I was going to say Greek tragedy in Oklahoma? No, where are they? New Mexico. A New Mexico tragedy. I don't know if production put him up to it or not. I don't know. Maybe he's just a true empath. He felt in the moment that he should say something. I was just cringing from the perspective that no one besides this man was watching nor cared or even noticed that Clint was proposing. But the two of them are just calling out, yelling, I said yes. She said yes. I'm getting married, y'all. Okay, Markle, we get it. Now, my favorite part was not the dinner. It was what happened in the street right afterwards. So Tracy and Clint, they're walking down the street. She's saying, oh, I've only been out of prison for 12 hours and look at this. And she does this, what's her face? The one from Real Housewives of Atlanta, twirl, Gone with the Wind, Kenya Moore. She does this Kenya Moore spin move. And she says, look at this view. As we overlook street parking with two Camrys and a Ford Tempo. Now, the view inside the hotel room wasn't any better. Maybe I missed it. Maybe there was an incredible view. But as soon as I saw Tracy hop up on that bar, I knew my stomach couldn't handle it. It wouldn't be able to handle it. And as soon as Tracy straddled Clint, I knew I had to fast forward, which I did. Please do not tell me what I missed. I don't want to know. I feel like if I do know, it's just going to be something that burns into my brain and I will never get rid of it, no matter how much therapy. I mean, I already need a lot of therapy. I don't need that on top of it. Now let's get to the creme de la creme, Lizzie and Scott, dear sweet baby Jesus. Lizzie shows up to Scott's hotel room like she is a contestant on Blind Date. Hi, Scott, I'm here. Even in a vintage 1998 little romper. And no need to tell Adam that he needs to leave because that kid was already down the hallway headed for his own freaking baptism to wash the Lizzie off of him. Now, because Lizzie is a grade A Emmy award winning manipulator extraordinaire. Yeah, it's a real thing. Look it up. It's an Emmy award. She tells Scott that she's going to do a favor for him. She is going to be treating him to something he wants that he said he wanted. Remember, Scott, you said you wanted this. I'm doing this for you. Thank God Lizzie's just such a caring and perceptive person to seek out Scott's wants and needs. She's all about Scott, right? Just wants to make him happy. Turns out with a $90,000 prison education, Lizzie's managed to take approximately, what do you guys think, like 3 cosmetology classes before she got kicked out. So, you know, she's qualified to do what she's about to do. She sits Scott down and just makes him feel real shitty to set the mood. Do you feel sad you're so ugly, Scott? Oh my God, I'm sure. Yeah, I know. I think we should just cut this rat tail off and then snip. My God, she freaking cut this ponytail off with like 2 just chopped it off and dropped it on the fucking floor, on the carpet. You mean to tell me you spent how many years in prison and you don't know how to keep your floor clean? Bullshit. I remember talking to someone for one of my bonus Patreon episodes, and they were telling me that her husband was in prison, and that was like the thing. You keep your cell clean. So bullshit. Lizzie should know better. She's just a fucking monster. She drops massive clump of disgusting Scott hair on the floor. That in and of itself is something that she should go to prison for. If anything, that is the number one thing that is incarceration worthy on this show. Just imagine the airborne hairs that will never, ever be recirculated out of that hotel. Warning to anyone who is at whatever scary ass place that they're at. Now, next, Lizzie whips out the straight razor, and mark your calendars because I promise you, this will be in the testimony for the prosecution. She did and didn't know what she was doing, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, allegedly. She ends up using clippers in the end, and she messes up his facial hair so badly that she ends up taking off his entire mustache and then just leaves a goatee. Now, all in all, I have to admit, Scott doesn't look terrible. I think he looks better than he did. However, the way that she shaved his neck into the shape of J-Lo's iconic green dress was beyond tragic. But again, I mean, he looks an easy 10 years younger than he did. He's still in need of a toddler pageant flipper for that tooth situation. That's still messed up. That's not going anywhere. But all in all, not too bad. I'm not even going to talk about the licking and kissing scene because just like Clint and Tracy, couldn't make myself watch. I even tried bribing myself, like, oh, okay, you can have a glass of wine if you watch it. I couldn't do it. Even I have some sort of standards and Catholic schooling that really fucked me up. Now, fast forward to Lizzie getting dressed, and she's choosing a dress with no breast support. My skin above my boobs was hurting because the stretch on that skin, ouch. Now, Scott's also getting changed into who the hell cares. Doesn't matter because at that point, all I could look at was his hair because I didn't realize that it was still this long slick back thing. There were these wiry pieces of hair that fell down, and that's when I realized it was still long on top. Obviously, Lizzie must have gotten kicked out before they got to the men's haircutting lesson. So Scott's scooping up hairballs, which is dried at this point. Actual shudder down my spine. And he sends his son back into the room to go through his dirty pants for his credit card. No thanks. Adam, just say no. We learned that back in the 80s. I know he's a lot younger than us, but just say no. You dig that credit card out yourself, Krusty Jones. No one wants to be digging through your dirty ass jeans. Now, meanwhile, Adam is in his personal hell, and Jasmine is too, because she's forced to have this mommy-daughter time with freaking narcissistic mother over here who's plastering Wet and Wild makeup all over herself and pretending like she cares about Jasmine's opinion. Now, this is one, I think, on social media where Jasmine has said that they're still together, but she doesn't approve and they don't talk anymore. If that's true, I already feel bad for Jasmine, but that just puts it right over the edge. Speaking of the edge, I'm going to take a quick little break here, and then we're back for some 90 Day Fiancé. It's a new year, and for decades, I've been making the same resolution to lose weight. If you listen to my other podcast, Moms on the Rocks, you know that I am not doing that anymore. Instead, I'm just going to do what makes me feel good, and for me, that's getting better sleep and boosting my energy levels so I'm motivated to work out. Now, as you know, I've been using Care Of, a monthly subscription vitamin service that's completely personalized with the vitamins and supplements packaged just for me and delivered right to my door. If your health goals are achieving glowing skin, getting more sleep, or just generally being more healthy, Care Of has got your back. Build a daily routine with the adorable daily packets with all the vitamins and supplements recommended specifically for you and your goals. So how does Care Of figure out what you need and what you want? Well, who doesn't love a quiz? I just took one this morning to find out which 90 Day Fiancé couple I should go to the Olive Garden with. The Care Of's is even better because the inner narcissist in you will get off on it. You tell them where you live, how active you are, what your goals are, and even if you want to try some alternative supplements. I'm taking one for improving my sleep, and it does not leave me groggy with many types of melatonin that I've tried in the past. The other great thing that I haven't seen anywhere else is that you can tell Care Of if you don't like those huge horse-sized pills. They really get it. The online quiz only takes 5 minutes, and it's scientifically backed recommendations, so you know what you're putting in your body is going to be safe and it works. Each day's package has an inspirational quote or a fact, so it keeps it fun, and I always compare it to getting a daily fortune cookie. Oh, and there's more. You get your monthly subscription delivered right to your door every month. You can change your subscription anytime, and a portion of every sale goes towards the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers who are in need with quality prenatal vitamins. Take advantage of this month's special New Year offer. For 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter REALITV50. That's REALITV50. Again, 50% off your first month, go to takecareof.com, enter REALITV50. The tell-all is here. Oh my God. You know, I normally don't love tell-alls, but I was digging last night's episode. Or I can say last night, because if you are a member on Patreon, you are listening to this earlier in the week. If you are not, you're listening to it on Thursday, and my opinion still has not changed. The tell-all was incredible. I actually went on Aaron Martin's Pink Shade podcast this week. Go ahead and check it out. We talked about the tell-all. We talked about some other couples from previous seasons. Yeah, this season's cast, they're bringing drama off screen, on Twitter, on Instagram. It's just crazy. But let's get into 90 Day Fiancé Tell All Part 1. Very behind the scenes, Real Housewives reunion backstage style. And I was loving it. I was also loving Ashley's dress. Ashley's hot. Let's just call it like it is. She's very cute. She has a cute kind of pretty face. I still think that Kalani and, I mean, Fernanda is beautiful too. Olga, however, she is just classic beauty. She's stunning. Now, let's talk about Ashley a little bit. You know, with this whole tell-all, it was all over the place. So forgive me as I bounce around trying to cover it all. So Ashley is really nervous as she's walking in, again, Real Housewives style. She's got to talk about Jay's infidelity. She's actually hoping that everyone's going to be giving him shit about cheating and samesies. Now, on the flip side, we have Lita, whose accent suddenly thickened. I don't know if I was the only one who noticed this. You know, it's just as thick as her evil plot to destroy Eric's children's lives. And she's nervous about everyone asking her about that little tiny tiff between she and Tasha because, you know, she knows she's not wrong. Okay, Jan, that's actually exactly why you're nervous. You know that we know you're wrong. And now I sound exactly like the bitches in high school. She knows that we know. No light at the end of the tunnel are Kalani and Asuelu. They arrive. Asuelu is just as proud as a preschooler on their first day of school. He's got his big boy coat on. He's got a nice colorful shirt and a nice short short. You may not have noticed it because a lot of people thought that he had some sort of leather attachment for his shorts. No, those were his thigh tattoos. I absolutely love it. I think the thigh tattoo is an excellent idea for that pesky summer cellulite. Throwing it out there, if anyone wants to go in on maybe a Groupon for thigh tattoos, is that a thing? We're making it a thing. I'm not kidding. I mean, no one's going to see it in the winter. Sport that tribal thigh tattoo, or maybe, well, not tribal. I would probably go with like a mountainscape, because then the valleys of my cellulite dimples would just blend right in. It would be beautiful. I mean, imagine my flat dimpled ass. It would be picturesque in the wading pool area. I'm really providing an art encounter, pretty much like going to the Art Institute, right? You definitely know it was an ancient Samoa woman that came up with those thigh tattoos. Fucking brilliant. Okay, then we have Fernanda and John, who I really don't care about. I do care about Larissa and Colty because I love a good crazy bitch on TV. And of course, I care about Olga because Steven is a freaking piece of shit. So finally, the tell-all begins. They're all sitting there on the couch, but it begins without Colt and Larissa because we know, based on this behind-the-scenes part of it, that they show up late. So let's just pretend for a while that we're all in love, we're taking a trip down memory lane, and we get some really sweet flashbacks, but screw all that. Asuelu saying that he couldn't handle not seeing Kalani, and he didn't want to say goodbye, Kalani, goodbye, my love. Fucking Jesus Christ, move over, James Blunt. I was crying with Asuelu in solidarity with my Samoa warrior man. We got a new love anthem on our hands. Goodbye, Kalani, goodbye, my love. Now, Sean Robinson, I'm really liking her these days. I think she did a really good job of moving things along. She asked a couple beginner questions, but she got right into the Jay and Ashley drama. Now, during the time of this taping, they were not in a good place. It was super awkward and I was loving it. It's strange because as I was talking with Aaron from Pink Shade Podcast, we were talking that this was taped weeks ago. So according to the social meds now, they're still together, which makes me sad. But I'm going to look at this from the perspective as I only know what they're giving us. So Ashley was slaying with her quick comebacks. She is very quick. I like that. Her comeback to Jay about, you're lucky you had 90 days because it took you 93 to screw up. Oh, bam. I mean, the only thing that could have made that 2 seconds better would have been to see Natalie zooming right past on her scooter. I still love that, by the way. You see me rolling. Now, I think Jay thought he was going to be getting a lot of backup, thought that he was going to have some allies on the set, but he had none. He's sitting there defending his actions, saying he just made a simple mistake. What is the big deal? You know, he's just a young chap looking for new friends to study the Bible with, maybe go for some fro-yo and read a YM magazine. You know, he downloaded Tinder. What, you mean to tell me missionaries don't find their friends that way? He's just a lonely, lonely boy looking for a friend. Pobrecito. Okay, I'm going to keep going on with my praise for Ashley because she's sticking to her guns hard and I fucking love that about her. She's not going to sacrifice everything she has, everything she worked for, and her kids' livelihood because it sounds like their dad is not in the picture. Just so, you know, Jay can dick around and play around here. So Sean straight out asks him in one of my favorite parts of the entire tell-all, can you be in a monogamous relationship? And Jay answers that he just doesn't know. Silence. All around, blink, blink, blink. Blank, open mouth stares at him for several seconds. And finally, Kalani, the preschool whisperer, asks him, do you know what monogamous means? Well, of course, she's going to ask him because she's married to Asuelu. If anyone in that room was going to sniff out the confusion, it's going to be Kalani. And bottom line, Ashley needs to just listen to her gut. Her gut is saying, move on from this guy. You don't need him. You also don't need to suck me in that dress because, oh my God, she looked hot and she can do way better. Now, perfect time to talk about the best example, perhaps in all of 90 Day Fiancé history, of someone who can do better, and that would be Olga. Steven is there without her because she's still in Russia. She doesn't have her visa. Steven's got some weird grease lightning curl that matches his super ugly personality. And his flashback scenes were just as terrible as we all remember. Steven has no regrets, though. He doesn't see anything at all wrong with his behavior towards Olga, despite everyone there telling him, you're being aggressive. Asuelu was actually the only one to tell him that he doesn't need to be getting a thank you for doing basic shit. And that's when Steven barks, it's called respect. Now, I don't know if it's a game change in 90 Day Fiancé tell-alls or what, but Sean and the cast are not doing the super fluffy, you know, we're all great, we're all friends, yay. They're actually calling each other on shit that they have seen go down during the season and that they didn't like. Thank God. I mean, how many people on set were trying to explain to Steve? I think we should just call him that, Steve. It suits his Steve-ish personality. But how many people, honestly, did it take to explain to him that Olga did about 300% more than he ever has? He finally backs away a little bit and says that he understands now, but he doesn't. We know that. He's just saying it so that they would all lay off of him a little bit. Now the baby, little Richie, oh my Moscow, that kid is so fucking cute. He looks exactly like Olga, again, thank God, and his cheeks were screaming to be chewed on, and that's a compliment. Little baby cheeks, an inner thigh chub, and the little arm fat rolls, you gotta chew on them. Not with teeth. You know what I'm talking about, moms, right? Or you kind of do the old man thing with your lips over your teeth and you just chew them. Now, Olga, sweet, sweet Olga, smiling from ear to ear, holding her son, it was precious. I took a photo, and I think Olga really has never been happier without Steven. The whole situation is so incredibly sad. It really is dark. It would almost be better if Olga did live with Steven's grandma instead of Steven or slash Steve saving up for their own place. I just think Steven needs a conservator, like a Britney Spears style conservator. He's not stable, and Olga certainly should never be alone with him. It's not going to end well. Now, it's going to get steamy. A 5-minute break is called, and everyone gets super pissy because it's about Colt and Larissa. Apparently, they're like the housewife who is always late for dinner. They're always showing up late for taping, and everyone's all pissed because, you know, they're dressed. They have their makeup on. They're sweating their makeup off, sweating through their hair. And yeah, I'm looking at you, Eric. Speaking of Eric, quite ironic that he's the one who says about Colt and Larissa, they took advantage of us. Care to use that same train of thought on the frickin' monster that you married, you fucking fool? So while they're waiting for the train wreck to arrive, we catch up with Kalani, Asuelu, Kalini, and baby Oliver, who, I gotta say, he is much cuter now. He is somehow the exact same age as he was during filming. I think he's got some sort of like a stationary aging syndrome or something. There's something up with that. Now, two things that distracted me from the Kalini, Kalani, Asuelu, just their boring segment altogether. Kalini was stretching her dress over her toes and her shoes the whole time. I don't know if she maybe forgot to paint her toes or something. It was very distracting. And Lita waving to Oliver over and over again. It was like she was expecting him to answer her or something. Go back and watch. It was really strange. It was not like a normal, oh, wave peekaboo. It was like she really thought that this, again, I don't know how old he is. He could be 4 months. He could be 17 months. I don't freaking know. She does not know how to interact with any sort of child or baby or human for that matter. And then Stephen answering questions. Anytime someone asked Olga a question, he would just butt in and answer it. Shut your frickin' ugly ass face, Steve. She can speak for herself. Now here comes the pizza, and here comes Colt and Larissa. No love lost for Larissa in her modeling career, because Fernanda and Ashley are just trashing her, and it was amazing. They're not trying to hide, like I said before, they're not trying to hide their disgust for anyone's behavior or personality this year. I love it. Now, meanwhile, in the SUV, Colt and his four strands of pubic beard are trying to puff his breasts and threaten John. Okay, I'm sure you two are really going to throw down, Colt. Now, the fact that Larissa's luggage and makeup he got lost is just, it's Mother Karma finally doing her thing. The inflated ego these two have gotten because of the show is bizarre. It's not like George and Anfisa, who try to get some Instagram ad revenue and stuff like that. It's like Colt and Larissa honestly think they're this sexy power couple. You know, Colt and his little mini bagel dog. They just must have all the other guys jealous. The three guys who are listening right now, you're so jealous of Colt. Now, Fernanda's tweet. Let's get to this. I don't know if my opinion is going to be a popular one. I have a feeling it's probably not. I just think Fernanda's tweet was not that big of a deal. Like I said, so much crap happens with this cast so quickly that maybe it was worse than I thought. Maybe I thought it was a terrible, snarky thing at the time. But so much stuff has happened since then. This is nothing. In my opinion, it was gross for Larissa to be posing on a cop car, joking about it when she was begging for someone to call 911 and claiming domestic abuse. Now, whether that was Fernanda's true intent, who the hell knows, but Larissa just needs to own up to it. It was a bad joke. It was stupid. It was just a bad joke. The whole thing is just stupid. Okay, we can all agree it's all stupid. Now, finally, after over an hour of teasing, Clarissa arrives. See what I did there? Why did I not think of this earlier? Larissa and Colt's couple name is Clarissa. They arrive, they explain it all, that Larissa needs to look good and needs a whole makeover before she's going to go on set. But first, God damn it, Sean, why do you always have to do this? Quit playing games with our cold black hearts. Oh, wait, hold on a second. It's Lita and Eric's turn to roast. Oh, okay, never mind. I'm all in. Let's hear it. We get a worst of montage, and then Lita's attempt to just poo-poo all her evil stepmotherness. She just needs to shut her mustache. You are a monster. Let me guess, a maid back in Indonesia used to wax your upper lip for you, so now your hands are tied and you're just stuck looking as ugly as your frickin' soul is. Now the tears. I would like to believe Lita's tears are real, but she is crying for herself. She's not crying because she's truly sorry for anything that she did or she's truly regretful. She's crying because she's been found out and she's embarrassed that we see through her bullshit. And if you noticed, she said she felt bad about Jenica. Yeah, the one daughter who isn't old enough to opt out of visits with Eric, and also the one that watches and plays with Lita's son all the time. So no, I don't buy any of the waterworks that Lita turned on. Now let's hop backstage again, where the crew is scrambling to find Larissa a dress that is Kardashian style. Well, this would be a first for Larissa because she's always been dressed exclusively in clearance dresses from the junior section at Marshall's. The same with that chick that was on a previous season of Married at First Sight. You know, the one that married the guy that lived in the bus. They have the exact same style. And why, by the way, was the crew catering to her like this? It's the same shit that MTV producers do for Farrah and Janelle. You gotta stop feeding the bitches, production companies. Stop it. Now, despite Larissa about to torch the frickin' place down like Roseanne and She-Devil, Colt is just easy breezy, give your pointed toes a twirl in this lavender shirt with three buttons open. He was feeling his damn self, like an actual level of cockiness. Come on, baby, look at me, darling. Look into my women's curvy khaki pants and know that I love you. Okay. His delusion is equally matched with Larissa's when she says, I know I look six. I look better than Fernanda. I know I'm ready to war. No joke, I had to go back 3 times and listen to her say that because it sounds like Larissa's saying she's ready to wear, which fits exactly with the whole scenario of her having to find a dress last minute. But no, she's saying war, like I know I'm ready to do war, I think. So they're called in and Colt says, thanks for inviting us, Sean. Okay, sweetie, you are all invited because it's in your contract. Don't flatter yourself. But before we know it, the shuddy uppy bums comes, which is quite rich. Larissa is calling Fernanda and John bums. They live in a home that he owns, and he literally buys and sells real estate. You're living with your mother-in-law and had to share a bathroom, so zippy lippy. So they're screaming and yelling all over the place, and that's when Asuelu starts pounding his hands on his head like he's gonna hurt himself, full-on warrior mode. I felt bad for him. I can't decide whether I would be one of those people who stuck around on stage, just watch the shit show, or if I would lose my patience and just leave. It would be a tough call. Now, sadly, yeah, you know I'm there. All that build up, and then next week on 90 Day Fiancé. Now, next week might well, very well be the best 90 Day Fiancé tell-all we've ever gotten. I don't know if I can think of a better one, do you? Larissa's going to go nuts. It's going to be men against the men, women against women. Asuelu bringing down the house, shirtless, doing a someone mating dance. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Speaking of beautiful things, make sure you keep up with me on patreon.com/realityvpod. Amanda and I are going to be bringing you the very last Teen Mom OG recaps. I have some new episodes coming up in the next couple weeks, as always, of course. Make sure you subscribe, share, tell a friend, talk to me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at RealityVPod. Be sure to listen to my other podcast, Moms on the Rocks. And until then, have a great week. Stay salty.